Okay, well, welcome to episode 2 of the Edgar Rice Burroughs podcast. My name is Tim DeForest, and I am the author of several books on pre-digital pop culture, like Pulp Fiction, old-time radio, newspaper comic strips, and such. And with me today are... Go ahead, Jess.
Jess Terrell, you might know me from the Facebook discussion group for love of all things Edgar Rice Burroughs. I'm a lifelong Burroughs fan. I've written a few pastiches and had first discovered Burroughs when I was, say, 11 years old, although I was with Return of Tarzan, although I was very familiar with movies prior to that. Mm-hmm. And now devoting most of my free time to the pursuit of Burroughs.
That's cool. And Scott?
Yeah, my name's Scott Stewart, and I was about in third grade when I got hooked on to Tarzan. I'd see the movies on after school matinees, but like Jess, Return of Tarzan, the Whitman abridged edition is what hooked me and threw me right into the action with that. So the Tarzan movies, Tarzan books like that. My favorite book is still Return of Tarzan. Mostly by Son of Tarzan, and I am a ghostwriter, so a lot of my words have been penned for hire for other people, doing everything from feng shui to Mountain Meadows Massacre and personal memoirs, but really trying to get my own interest in things like Tarzan and adventure science fiction under my own name going, so we'll kind of see where that goes in the future.
I think I read the Tarzan books for the first time when I was in junior high school, so about 12 years old. Probably a few years later, I started reading John Carter and Pellucidor and the rest of them. So I've been a Tarzan fan since I was a kid, too. And if I had to pick a favorite Burroughs book, when we discussed doing this podcast and we said our first one together would be picking the favorite book, I actually kind of agonized over that. But I really think my personal favorite is Land That Time Forgot, and the two sequels to that, which is often published as one book. So I'm going to call it that whole trilogy my favorite book. It's just a good, fast-moving adventure story in a really, really fun world, full of dinosaurs and winged men and a city made out of skulls and all these great things that make it really exciting to read.
Yeah, this may be hopefully not totally off subject, but with Caspat and the unknown world like that, which I totally love that thing. There's a movie out there called The Land Unknown, which to me could almost be part of that series. And one of the stars is Jack Mahoney, so you got Tarzan in there anyway. I don't know. It's not shown too often, but it's a great old cheesy black and white science fiction movie.
Yes, I actually rewatched that movie recently. That's a really fun movie.
It is.
I think they were at the North Pole, where Caspak was on the South Pole. But
I think it was Antarctica they went to.
Yeah. But it is a great movie. Yeah, they reach that by helicopter, right? And then they spend a whole chunk of the movie trying to get their chopper fixed again so they can get away.
Exactly.
So that is a fun film. So anyway, I'm going to go with Land That Time Forgot as my favorite. You know, because there's a lot of others. The Chessmen of Mars is a particular favorite of mine, because the idea of men forced to fight on a living chessboard to the death is just kind of cool in of itself. Tarzan and the Lost Empire, where he stumbles across a lost colony of the Roman Empire and ends up having to fight in a gladiator ring is pretty awesome as well. So...
there are a lot of fun. I've got some memorabilia, a large blow up of the painting for you're talking about Lost Empire.
Oh, cool. So Jess, do you have an absolute favorite Burroughs novel?
Well, it's not an easy list to compile, but obviously a fun list to do. Caspak, The Land of the Time Forgot, was tied for with several other books as my favorite. I always call that Darwin's Dream, and it's with evolution gone wild there, about anything can happen. And I would also recommend the Russ Manning's story, Pool of Time, as a kind of follow-up to Land of Time Forgot. For our listeners who are not familiar with the Pool of Time, that's a good one to take a look at. Another thing about Caspak is in some of the comic strips, and one day in one of my own pastiches, I hope to have a passageway from Caspak to the island continent, to Pellucidar, and then from Pellucidar to Paludan. I think that has some possibilities to it there. Other books I would mention, Chestnut, of course, I agree with that one. Jewels of Opar, Moon Maid, and I have to give a plug to Chris Carey's recent follow-up to Moon Maid, Swords Against the Moon Men, Tarzan's Quest, and Back to the Stone Age from the Pellucidar series. I've been devouring that one recently as I'm working on an essay regarding that very book. So I've really gotten into it, and I have a great deal of admiration for the hero there, Wilhelm von Horst.
That is a good one. I reviewed that one on my blog once when I went through the Pellucidar books, and that is a truly exciting story. That's the one where he gets a mammoth as a pet, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Old White's the name of that mammoth. He also kills a Tarag twice. They said it couldn't be done, and he did it twice.
He's got a great line, too, because he's, like most Burroughs heroes, he's trying to rescue the woman he loves for most of the book. When he confronts the bad guy, he's got a great line that's something like, I've crossed half a world to kill you. It's just like awesome dialogue.
That's to the point.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Burroughs had a habit of giving his heroes cool pets. You know, a mammoth. I think David Innes in Pellucidar had a hyenodon for a pet. In
yes, him. Yes.
John Carter had his Callet Wulla.
Yes.
So you could make a legion of super pets out of
hey, that's a great idea. I'm an old DC fan and have fond memories of the Legion of Super Pets.
They covered everything in there, just about.
Yeah. Now, Scott, you mentioned Return of Tarzan as your favorite. Is that your absolute favorite Burroughs novel?
That, when I got to pick out a first favorite, that one always pops to the top of my list. I can't even stop myself from saying it. There's so much. You know, you got Opar in there. him returning. The idea of Tarzan as a kind of a undercover secret agent, of course, which Henry did in Valley of Gold and stuff. To me, was such a different aspect of where I thought of Johnny Weissmuller in the movies that I'd seen up to that time, and still a little later before the Tarzan filmation. Cartoons came out, which I find incredibly authentic or true to his stories and character. But yeah, Tarzan gets Jane at the end. He fights the worst person in the world, Rokoff, which is a perfect horrible villain. And I kept thinking, why doesn't he just trash him, take him out? But you know, part of the thing about Tarzan, I think what ERB is trying to do. He was trying to show that honor, even as an animal. An animal, you know, is survival. It's a day-to-day life thing. But when Tarzan realized he was M-A-N, a man, and above animals, I think he went that extra mile to show that there was a difference in his take in that way. So you got that. You got Opar. You got, again, and we know Burroughs is no stranger to coincidence, but everything moves so quickly through there. So it's like four books in one. And I totally love it. After that, I'd probably have to go with Son of Tarzan, just because my favorite character is probably Korak. When I was a kid, I wanted to be Korak. And the Korak Gold Key comics were a huge part of my filling my imagination of Tarzan. I didn't want to be Robin to Batman. I want to be Korak to Tarzan. I won't go into the whole thing of whether it's Korak, Jack, and kidnapping, and those are all for another depth and everything for his the lineage or chronology of Korak, Jack's.
Yeah, there's a glitch in the chronology. You know, Korak is born and grows up in the jungle, and then he joins Tarzan and his family. He's still an adult when we get to World War I, when he actually couldn't possibly have been more than what, like 6 years old. So
yeah,
so there's that chronology glitch that a lot of people who enjoy doing chronology try to deal with in various ways.
The great Korok time discrepancy, it's called.
Yeah, it's there. But it's fun to try and figure out, but it's nothing that interferes with the enjoyment of the books or the characters.
Very true.
I always thought it was interesting that Burroughs did one book with Korak as the main character, and then he has a few important cameos after that in a few books, but he's largely set aside. It was the Gold Key comics that made Korak an important regular character. So I always figured Burroughs just decided Korak was too much of a Tarzan clone, and his readers really wanted Tarzan himself, and concentrated on him.
That's possible, except the recent book with the Greystoke legacy now brought in Korak and the family in the line that way.
Yeah, well, he is a great character. I have no problem with him getting his own stories.
Well, about Korak, the story I've heard, and I cannot find this in my reference books, but I've read it someplace, is that the Burroughs intended to do more Korak stories.
Oh, okay.
But an editor or publisher told him that the public wants Tarzan. They don't want anybody else. So that locked Burroughs into doing Tarzan tales.
Really?
If you take a look at the Barsoom series, where Burroughs had a little bit more freedom, he did work other heroes into some of those stories. In fact, John Carter takes a back seat in at least a couple of the stories.
I can think right off his son, his daughter in the fifth one, Fighting Man of Mars with somebody else. So
right.
At least two others. Almost half the series of Mars series is other heroes.
So my belief is that's the approach that Burroughs wanted to take with the Tarzan tales, using Korak, and gee whiz, if he'd been inclined, Miriam would have been a fine heroine, and I would love to have seen a more active role for Jane. I really, really wish the Jane that we saw in Tarzan's Quest and Jane that we saw in Tarzan the Terrible and the Jane that we're seeing in the webcomics Tarzan Twins now, written by Martin Powell, that Jane as a leader, jungle savvy, and a working partner to Tarzan, that's the kind of Jane that I wish we had seen in the books.
Yeah, me too. She got some awesome moments in Jewels of Opar, too, where she was, kidnapped for most of the book, but she gets a few moments.
That's
true. Crowning moments of awesome there.
Right.
There's a scene where she's tied up and a hungry lion's nearby. She's been abandoned in the jungle, and she's calmly thinking about how she can get out of this rather than panicking. And, so Jane was an awesome character. Miriam would have been as well. It's too bad Burroughs didn't use Korak more often, because he's not really just a Tarzan clone. He had his own unique personality, as I think the Gold Key comics eventually demonstrated. So,
and I think, too, as you mentioned on Barsoom, I have to give Burroughs credit on the fact that I found it a little disconcerting at first when I realized John Carter wasn't going to be the main guy in the book. But to his credit, to expand the universe for everything we want, that comes up with discrepancies, and we talk about alternate worlds or their chronology and all that. One of the things about Burroughs and his books, whether it's the Westerns or the Lost Worlds, which I totally love Lost Worlds, anything with dinosaurs in.
Me too.
and his Tarzan novels is back at one time when I was in film school and became kind of a literary film snob. Yeah, hence, I wasn't taking less than a Sullivan's Travels very well. But I reached a point where I realized, you don't have to be doing Bergman and playing chess with Death on the Beach to be an important film. Smoking the Bandit and etc. I'm aging myself a bit. Have the space in it. And that's the thing about Burroughs, is I enjoy doing, stuff with Philip Jose Farmer and the Wold Newton universe and everything they do to tie things together. That's a kick in itself. But in the Burroughs books, a lot of times I will bypass the coincidence or bypass the chronological discrepancies just due to the fact that he takes and paces his stories and makes a fun story. And I'm not in there right at that time looking to do a literary critique. I'm in there because I get to escape the work I've been doing that day or the job I'm doing, and just go into a whole nother world and have an absolute fun fest in my head.
Yeah. And
Very well said. Escapism, that's the word. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's a sign of how good a storyteller Burroughs was, that he could use coincidence as often as he did, but we, even if we notice it, we don't care, because we're having so much fun with the story. Because he did, sometimes he was very shameless about how he used coincidence. You know, the spot where Tarzan grew up, where his parents were marooned, it seems everybody anywhere near Africa gets shipwrecked shows up at that exact spot.
Yeah,
about the same time, too.
Yes. If the Coast Guard just marked that spot on the map, they could just rescue everybody. But it doesn't bother me. I recognize it as coincidence, but the stories have this rhythm to them, this really fun rhythm to them, and he tells the stories well, and he uses coincidence, I think, to his advantage rather than to his detriment.
Exactly.
I agree. Of course, I love Burroughs' work, and I hope I didn't sound like I was criticizing him earlier, but I agree. I can take a little bit of coincidence like that, and you can laugh about it if you like, but overall, it's just a fine story. It's a well-told story. And yes, this is supposed to be fun. Great Korok time discrepancy and doing the chronologies, I love doing those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, it's fun and it's escapism to get away from the real world for a while.
Yeah, it really is. I wanted to move on. We talked about our favorite books, but do you have an absolute favorite character? I mean, you know, is Tarzan your favorite ERB character, or does someone else stand out a little more in your minds?
Jeff?
Well, thank you. I've got to throw in John Carter. Mm-hmm. Certainly Tarzan is a favorite, needless to say. And John Carter is a favorite of many. But the thing I admire about John Carter is his code of conduct.
Yeah.
He is a career soldier, mm-hmm. which is not an unusual thing. Look through history, and you will find career soldiers. Mm-hmm. And he conducts himself with honor. He has a code of conduct. He has principles. And he's fighting for a cause, and he's fighting for a woman that he loves. Mm-hmm. And he's a leader, and he is a good, upright, and moral person.
Yeah, and that's actually part of the appeal of the heroes. It's not just that they're physically awesome. It's that they have these mm-hmm. codes of honor, and they stick to them strictly. And the books are written with the presumption that there's a difference between right and wrong, and that the good guys should do the right thing.
Exactly, which was one of my complaints about the John Carter movie, was that John Carter in the film was reluctant to do anything other than go find his cave of gold. Now, the movie is a whole different topic, I realize that.
Yeah.
But that's not the John Carter that I read about in the books.
No, he wasn't. They gave him all that angst and tragedy, and he was just a different guy.
Right. So,
yeah.
21st century man.
Scott, do you have an absolute favorite character from the ERB universe?
Well, Tarzan, of course, is king, but my favorite would be Korak. Again, just because of the identity there. And what you're saying just about John Carter is absolutely true. And you see that, and Tim, I know you just wrote or blogged on this recently about the Outlaw of Torn and character development there. I don't think I've ever found, if you want to call it a quote-unquote hero or anti-hero, that he created that I didn't like. You have Tyler, or you have, you know, any unknown world or primeval world adventures, and Senator David Hines and everyone like that. They're not clones of each other. That's one thing I like his stories. You know, he did the Westerns and the Apache, Native American fighting stories, even some of the medieval stuff, and he did the Tarzan, the Mars and Venus, and so many different things. And in one way, yes, they fall into that pulpish type of storytelling. But and some of them in the series might have been kind of a copy, maybe, of early stuff. But the heroes, he kept a lot of stuff about honor, about forthrightness, and moving forward and taking care of business in it. But that's what we want to see in a hero. And you see these debates where people are talking about Dark Batman and Superman, the Boy Scout. No, Superman's too clean. I'd like my hero to be a good person.
Yes, I know. They don't necessarily need moral flaws to make them engaging heroes that we can identify with or respect. And I wish there were more of that in modern fiction. Tarzan's probably number one for me, although John Carter would be up there too. There's one character of the mucker. I'm forgetting his actual name. I'm afraid.
Billy Barnes.
Billy Barnes, yes. Now, he's an interesting character. He does start out as a criminal and a thug, but he begins to develop a sense of right and wrong over the course of the two novels he's in. And I think Burroughs does an excellent job of that, of very believably giving him a kind of a hero's journey to where he gets to where he accepts himself as a good guy and wants to do the right thing.
Well, I would like to make a plug here for Waldo Emerson Smith Jones from The Cave Girl.
Okay.
Young fellow stranded on an island, mm-hmm. had barely been outside the house. He was a bookworm, most definitely, well-educated, had read everything he could get his hands on, had several degrees, but was not at all prepared to cope with the great outdoors, not to mention a jungle environment, but he grows into it. And actually, going back to your comments a moment ago, one of the trademarks I think of a good story is for someone in that story to grow, to become more than what they were when the story began. And in this case, he becomes a warrior and someone to be admired, and of course wins the hand of the local heroine.
Yeah, that is a good one. I haven't read that one in years. Now I want to revisit it. That was one of the ones that was being done as a webcomic. I haven't seen a new entry on that one in a while. They were doing a good job with that on the webcomics as well. So there is a lot of character growth. I think a lot of the later Tarzan novels, he often had a co-hero, somebody who could fall in love with the girl. And you would often see some degree of character growth amongst them. So I think he was very good at putting that into the novels. He just gave us characters we liked and rooted for and could identify with. That is one of the strengths of the story. It's not just writing cool action scenes in unique environments. It's giving us great characters as well. And I don't know if Burroughs gets enough credit for how in-depth his characterizations could be sometimes.
Yeah.
So, okay, do you guys have a favorite Lost World environment like Caspak or Palo Dun or Mars or whatever? What's your favorite Burroughs setting? Scott, you go ahead and go first.
I'd go with the jungle because it is Tarzan.
Yeah.
The one that always pricks at my mind that I enjoy a lot, and you see this with Jules Verne and stuff too, is the middle of the Earth, Pellucidor, and going into the center Earth type thing, Earth to the Earth's core. I just find that fascinating, and trying to wrap my head around a place, if you want to call it inside out or inside the globe, with an eternal light and the landscape the way it is. I just think it's a very cool thing. And the image, the ideas of something like an airship or a Zeppelin going over to the North Pole and looking for these areas to enter and stuff. And the creatures and everything they find in there. I really enjoy that a lot.
Yeah.
Mars, and I like Caspak and Venus and all that, but those would be my one and two.
Well, Burroughs certainly excelled in world building. He would go to a great deal of lengths to create a culture, oftentimes two opposing cultures, tribes, cities, whatever. So you have a little bit of conflict, which always makes for an interesting story. Caspak, we've discussed. Pellucidor, of course, is a favorite of mine. Considering, if you stop and think about it, that the landmass of Pellucidor was opposite the landmass of the outer world. So there's a lot of territory there that has not been covered yet. So there's ample room for stories, not to mention that dead moon that hangs above the land of awful shadow.
Yeah.
There's been pastiche written there, but I still think that, and when I say pastiche, I'm talking about someone other than Burroughs.
Yeah.
I think still room for another story there, at least for that dead moon. Of course, there's Paludan, which I said earlier, I believe could be linked up with Pellucidar. Barsoom is probably where the most, I think the most, shall we say, I'll say elegant, that's not the right word, world building was done.
I think elegant.
I want to be sure to mention Pelota, Beyond the Farthest Star, which really only had one world mentioned in the stories, but there was another 10 or so worlds in that solar system. And the neat thing is they were all, as I recall, on the same orbit, and there was an air bridge between them, so you did not have to use a rocket ship to travel. You could get in a plane and fly from one world to the other, in theory. Now, Burroughs did not get to continue that series. He only wrote the one book, but I think there's good potential there. Of course, Lee Strong recently wrote The Soldier of Pelota. Mm-hmm. So that, again, that's another example of Burroughs' world building.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You all had something?
No, I just agreed with you, or I was going to say, I think elegant was the perfect word. For Barsoom and the culture and society and temples and cities he created are magnificent. I don't know how anyone could deny the influence it had on all the cultures, whether you want to take it to the Dune or anything else, does not have its roots in what he did with that.
Yeah, I agree. I would pick Mars as a perfect example of world building. I actually talked about that in the first podcast. Just perfectly designed to have just any new environment you want to create, because it's an isolated world. The receding oceans have isolated the different cultures from each other. So John Carter or another hero could always run across an isolated part of the planet they hadn't been to before and believably meet yet another culture or weird monster or whatever that they had never seen. He had a whole world to work with and came up with a reasonable excuse for why a lot of the world wasn't known or explored anymore. So it was the perfect world of adventure. It was just, and I agree that elegant is actually the perfect word for it.
I stumbled into that one, but thank you both. Yeah, I've got to mention Africa. I joke that in Tarzan's Africa, there's a lost city on every street corner.
Yeah.
But I love it. I mean, I really do. I'm a big fan of Opar. I'm a big fan of the City of Gold. I really would like to have seen Nemoni. And I've mispronounced that young lady's name for years. I've called her Nemoine. I found out from talking to George McWhorter, it's Nemoni.
Okay.
Similar to anemone. It's a shame that she died at the end of the book, because Tarzan, while Law was nuts, but attractive, and had a thing for Tarzan. Nemoine, he was quite taken with.
Yeah.
And certainly, I want him to remain true to Jane.
Yeah.
But there could have been some stories revolving around that if she had survived.
Yeah. Well, of course, Burroughs originally intended to kill Jane off in Tarzan's
Yes.
Peril, and
yes.
I believe it was an editorial decision above him that said, no, you can't do that. So he just became, kind of making fun a little, not criticizing the character, but he became the world's most inattentive husband, just wandering around the jungle for months having adventures, while Jane was presumably waiting back at the estate and with infinite patience.
Exactly. Another reason why I would like to have seen a more active Jane in the stories.
Yeah, it would have been nice, because when Burroughs put Jane in the story, as you mentioned earlier, he used her in an awesome way. She was a great character.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that isn't true, though, to the idea of Tarzan, if you want to talk about the beast in him or being raised as a beast, where the male of the species will go out on a hunt or go and forage, and they may, they eventually come back, but sometimes they'll be separated for a while like that. Maybe Burroughs might have been onto that with his higher intellect in his brain, that once he started wandering, one thing to solve his curiosity to another would naturally keep him away from Jane longer. Although it's always good to come home.
And I've always presumed that Jane understood that he had that wanderlust that he had to indulge in, and that she would have accepted that as a necessary part of their marriage. Okay. So, do you guys have a favorite movie, Tarzan? Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm throwing in a random question that we didn't discuss beforehand.
Random is fine.
Yeah.
Keep us on our toes.
Yeah. So, or favorite movie or TV, Tarzan.
Well, I'll take this one if I may.
Okay.
Well, in regards to the movies, and certainly Legend of Tarzan from a couple of years ago, Alexander Skarsgård is the best Tarzan movie effort that we've seen. So I have a great deal of admiration for, and yes, of course, I did have a few complaints, but overall it was the best effort, and I have a great deal of appreciation for Mr. Skarsgård's performance there. However, to address your question, I have always liked Mike Henry, particularly in Valley of Gold. Fritz Leiber's book there, it was excellently done. The movie with the modern machinery of the tank and the helicopter. And also taking Tarzan out of Africa as that world traveler problem solver. Yes, in a James Bond mode, if you like. All those things appealed to me in 1967. They appeal to me to this day. And I really wish that the Burroughs Inc. had continued that direction, and that the more novels like Valley of Gold had been written.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scott, who's your favorite movie, Tarzan?
I was so happy Legend of Tarzan was as good as it was.
Yeah.
And when Scar's good, when I first heard he's going to be in it, I was kind of like, what? But I'm incredibly thrilled with how that came out. It kind of helped convert my wife and my oldest daughter, who saw it with me, kind of like, they're like, oh, it's not me, Tarzan, you, Jane. I said, no, this is what I'm trying to tell you. So I love that. Valley of Gold is another favorite of mine. Over a couple of years when I was a kid, matinees, I saw that one. And Tarzan's Three Challenges and Tarzan Goes to India were biggies for me from the old black and white Weissmuller movies, and Les Barker to those, seeing them on big screen in color. For TV, I enjoyed Ron Ely a lot. I enjoy watching that. But the Filmation, again, if you want to consider that TV series as an animated one, I really like what they did with that, of working with the Tarzan stories in that context.
Yeah, I agree that Filmation series was one of the closest to Burroughs' Tarzan of any adaptation. And I would probably pick Ron Ely as my favorite TV or movie one, because I really enjoyed that series. I've watched it again, some of them again recently on DVD. They really hold up as well-written stories. And I just enjoyed his portrayal of Tarzan as the educated, intelligent person he's supposed to be.
Well, I agree with y'all on the Filmation animated Tarzan. That's probably the single most accurate portrayal. And when I say accurate, according to the way Burroughs described the character, and it is his character, that Filmation Tarzan is as close as we've ever really come to that original book written Tarzan.
Yeah, it really was an impressive series. I always wish Filmation had more of a budget for their animation. But they were often really good at story and character, and kind of made mm-hmm. up for the second-rate animation they sometimes had.
It was like they'd read the books. That's amazing.
Yes, it was.
Imagine that. Go to the source.
Yeah. I actually heard a podcast with Ron Ely when the DVDs of his series first coming out, and he was saying he read through the Burroughs book to get a grasp of the character, and that in retrospect he wished they'd done the series as a period piece. It was set in what then was modern time, the 1960s.
Yeah.
In retrospect,
right.
He was saying he wished it had been the 1910s or 20s, and it would have given him a little more freedom in the stories they had told, and would have, he said, looked cooler as well. So. But I liked his performance as Tarzan. And I even like Jai, the kid. Sometimes kid characters can be annoying, but
yeah.
Jai was a cool kid. I liked him.
Yeah.
So,